Yeah, so it's been a tough week for so many people endured storms this week. I want to bring to your attention, before I get into the word, a couple things. The first thing is our brother David, who lost his mom this week. And so I want to do something just a little different. I typically ask, you know, the person who is enduring the loss or the family to come up, and I invite the church to be here with them so they can know that they have people around them that's praying for them, that's praying with them, that they have people that they can count on and they can lean on. And I'm gonna change it up a little bit. I can't imagine what you're going through. We can't imagine what you're going through right now. Can't imagine what you guys are going through now. I'm gonna have you sit. Have you guys sit. I'm gonna invite the church to surround you. So regardless of where you're sitting right now, David, if you would just raise your hand. I'm gonna invite, if you would just move closer to him and let him feel loved, let him feel like you are there for him. He lost his mom, the person who birthed him into this world, she would have been through this storm, that storm, everything I can imagine. It's his mom. He lost his mom. And no matter how old you are, when you lose your mom, it hurts. When you lose your mom, you feel as though your life isn't worth it. You feel broken. You feel lost. It's a tough thing to go through. And we just want you guys to know in this season of your life that you have a church family that love you. That the simple things such as dinner, that we're going to be intentional and not let you have to worry about dinner for a while. We're going to be praying for you. We're going to be doing the very small things that you would need to do or things that you got to do, but you have absolutely no strength for it. We're going to pray. I'm going to invite Elder Fanad to come up. And we're going to pray right now that God would just move in your life, that you're reminded constantly, even though you're going through hurt, even though you're going through even though you're going through what you can describe as hell right now on earth, that he still loves you and he's still in control.
Let us pray. God, our Father in heaven, it is a very complicated thing of life that despite science and medical advancements and health reform and all of these other things, that on the other side of life is death. And Father God, this uninvited visitor knocks on every single door, enters every single home, and disrupts every single life. And Father God, we lift not only David up, God, but the family that he represents. Because we know that there's a shift, there's a change, there's a something.
Thank you.
And without you, all can fall apart. And so, Father God, I'm asking that the spirit of peace be upon them. That the guidance of wisdom be with them. As maneuvering these things can be very, very difficult and weird and strange and new. And Father God, I'm asking that you give them words of encouragement. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking that the words that have came from your son Chiron's mouth are coming straight from our heart and action, that this prayer is not the last thing that they feel. These people around them are not the last thing that they feel, but that the body of Christ truly supports this family. And Father God, as a word of encouragement, you told your people that all things are under your feet, that you have dominion over all power and principalities. And Father God, you say in your book in Corinthians that the last thing to be defeated is death. And so, Father God, I ask that you encourage them the same way, that as they look at this moment, that they see that this is the last thing to be defeated for them. And so, Father God, we praise and we thank you and we honor you, because we know, because you tell us the last thing to be defeated, that it will be defeated, God. That there will be a day where we don't have to worry about the uninvited guest, God. And there will be a day that death has to die itself. And Father God, we thank you that one day we can say, where is your sting?
Yeah.
And in Father God, in these moments where we still feel the sting, continue to guide them, keep them, encourage them, and show us how we can be more like a body of Christ around them. In Jesus' mighty name, pray. Amen.
Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you is my desire. Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you. Just to be close to you. Is my desire. Yeah. Father. Yes, 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 yes. There are two more things that I want to bring to your attention before we jump in this word. Number one, we announced last week that Vespers this evening was to be a hike. We're going to move the hike to next week. And we'll have Vespers over Zoom this evening. So again, we're moving the hike to next week. And next week there is lunch. So I don't know if you want to bring your change of clothes here and change here, and then we all go out together. We're hiking right here in Winter Springs. We decided to move the hike from this week to next week to give the park officials time to clear the debris, anything that could be dangerous to us, to the kids walking. And so we're hoping that by next week everything is good and we can walk the trail. It's going to be amazing, so I invite you to plan for it. It's going to be next week. Unless something crazy happens, but we're going to plan to do the hike next week. Also, this month is Pastor's Appreciation Month. So a couple of things I'm going to invite you to do. We want to do something special for our pastor. He'll be here next week. And two things. Number one, we have a camera here, and after church, if you're so inclined, we're going to invite everybody, one at a time, to make some short videos. We're going to record. We'll set up outside, And it's just you saying something nice about the pastor, maybe something he said that touched you. He's been here just over 1 year now. And so I'm going to invite you to you know, Rachel will set up, you know, we'll set up outside. And, you know, something very short, guys, something very short, you know, 10 seconds. You know, Pastor, I love you. Thank you for all you do. Just it. That's it. We don't need a sermon. We don't need you to quote scriptures and do a whole poetry. And we're going to put all the videos together and we're going to surprise him. He's not watching right now. He's preaching. We're going to put all the videos together and then we're going to surprise him next week. Also, what we're going to invite you to do, we want to bless him as well. So we want to invite you to bring a special offering, bring cash. And we're going to put everything that you bring in an envelope and we'll give it to him on behalf of the church. So next week, we'll pick up our regular tithes and offering, right? We're not going to announce it because he'll be here. So keep that in mind. When you get your, when you get here, there'll be envelopes in the back, and when we pick up the tithes and offering, you just note on the envelope that it's for pastor's appreciation, and we'll ensure that it gets to him. That is all I have. I'm going to jump right in the word. Father, just be with me today. I pray, God, that you would just anoint us anew. Thank you for all you've done this week. Let us hear your voice right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amika, I hope you got something special last week. You were supposed to get something prior to your birthday. Did you get it? You didn't get it? We need to pray for your mom and your daddy. All right, so I want you all to stand with me as we get in the Word. We're going to be in Hebrews. I'm going to change it up a little bit today. We're just going to talk. We're talking this morning, and so I'm going to keep that same format, if that's okay. If you turn me up a little bit more, George. I'm going to keep that same format. This morning, if you were here, we talked about the spiritual lessons that we learned from the storm. And we identify that even though you'll have faith, that there'll still be some amount of fear that you can still experience. You know, we talked about, some people shared on what they went through, you know. One person shared and how they walked through their house and essentially anointed everybody and everything that was in the house. One person shared that it was their first time dealing with a storm by themselves. Typically, mommy and daddy's there to provide this shelter, to provide this umbrella, to provide the bananas and the apples. They provide everything that's needed. But now you're out there on your own in the wilderness, and there is a storm. And this is the first time now dealing with the storm. What do I do? I got to pick the phone up and call mommy. Should I buy this or that? We shared this morning some other spiritual lessons that we learned from the storm. We're going to dig in some more. But before we do that, I'm going to invite you to stand as we turn. If they would help me in the back. Jason, don't go too far. Come back real quick. Thank you very much. Yes. If you would put Hebrews, we're in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. And if you would help me with the NKJV, I almost went all the way back. I almost went, you know, back to the King James Version, but I want to keep it here for a purpose. So Hebrews 12, and we're going to read verse 1 aloud. It'll be on the screen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Here we go. After three, very loud. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so... All right, let's start one more time. Again, let's go from let us. Here we go. After three. One, two, three. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which also easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, are you tired? Yeah, yeah. Turn to the other neighbor because the other neighbor looked tired. Now, turn to the other neighbor and say, neighbor, are you tired? Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead and be seated. Faina, I asked that question because some of us look tired. Yeah, some of us, we've been through a lot. It's been a whole lot going on this year. I'm going to grab, Bryce, can you help me out with a mic? Can you help me out? Help me out with a mic. Grab a mic and watch the hands. And you just take. Auntie Tracy's gonna buy you something special for doing that this week. Praise the Lord. Tracy, don't let Bryce down. All right. It's been a crazy year, y'all. It's been a crazy year. I share this real quick. I'm about to go to what is my fourth funeral in Jamaica this year. It's been a crazy year. We've had storms this year. You know, we've had so many bad news this year. We've endured so many losses this year. So many people lost their jobs this year. We heard just this week about the total, and now the number is slipping my mind, the total number of losses that first hurricane, you know, that was as a result of that first hurricane. And we're still tallying the total losses with this hurricane. And we're still not out of the hurricane season. A whole lot going on this year. There were times this year when I felt like I couldn't take another step. There are times when I felt like I just wanted to stop. And for the first time this year, I decided to take a sabbatical. And that simply means I took myself away from the space where I would normally give. And with the expectation, now put myself in a space where I'm receiving. Started spending some one-on-one time with the family. Started spending some one-on-one time with God. I devoted, what was it, 6 weeks? Some time where I'm like, God, I want you to, I'm going to download. I need. And still at the end of the sabbatical, I felt as though I was tired when I started the sabbatical. I invited Sister Shireen Richmond last night after midnight. Apologize for texting you so late. I invited her, you know, as I was contemplating this message to preach with me. And so she's going to be my subject matter expert this morning. It is Mental Health Awareness Week, right? It's also Breast Cancer Month. And so we pray for those who are still going through, who have lost family members to breast cancer, and those who are still going through treatments, we pray that you will endure and will beat and overcome this. But it's Mental Awareness Week, and so I want to talk a little bit about exhaustion. I want to talk about exhaustion. Are you tired? I want to talk, what are some things that make you tired? What are some things that make you exhausted? All right? Okay, all right. We just ready. That was rhetorical. But let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. So who said it? Somebody said it over here. Who said it? Okay, Sam said it. Go ahead, give Sam. Let me talk to Sam for a little bit. We're going to have Shireen here, but I want Shireen, grab a mic. Make sure. Let me get a mic for you. Sit down, girl. I got you. All right. We're going to hear from everybody else first, and then we're going to have Shireen define. And I didn't tell her what I'm talking to her about. I just texted her, "You're going to be at church tomorrow. Can you preach with me?" She said yes. And so, okay. All right. That's what I meant. And so, we're going to have her define exhaustion here in a minute. But I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear from you guys first. The question was asked, or I guess you heard, what are some things that make you feel exhausted? And Sam, you said work. Come on, talk about it. Okay.
There's no off mode there. You have to be on PTO requests. You know, they have to be approved. It's not like you can just take it without telling anyone.
Yeah. So. Okay. So Sam said work. Before we even start talking about some of the things, let's hear what your definition of exhaustion. What is that? What does that mean? What does that mean? I wanna hear from everybody. I wanna hear from everybody. What does that mean? All right, we got Soli over here. Bryce is gonna be working today. Make sure that gift is good, Tracy. Okay, all right. He working. All right, go ahead, Soli. Go ahead.
To me, exhaustion is like when you feel like you can't go on anymore.
Say that one more time. Say it loud. Put the mic up.
When you feel like you can't go on anymore.
When you feel like you can't go on anymore. Anybody else? Exhaustion. Anybody else? Let me see who agrees with that. Everybody. All right, let me see those who have felt like they couldn't go on anymore. All right. I'm going to start with you. Come on, give her the mic there. I want you to tell me a time, the last time you felt that way. Or maybe not the last time. Tell me your name one more time. Yeah. What's your name? Tell me your name.
Jessica.
All right, Jessica. Tell me, when was the last time you felt that way?
This year, just whole year.
What made you feel that way?
Just stuff kept coming back.
It was just thing after thing after thing after thing. How did you manage? How did you, because obviously you're here, so how did you get from there to here?
God.
All right. Anybody else want to share? All right, we got Sky over here. Take your time, Bryce. All right? Take your time. For those who are watching online, you want to share your story about feeling tired and being exhausted, go ahead and drop it in the comment section. Go ahead, Sky.
It was probably around like last year or so, like my last year of high school, and you know, everybody's taking SATs, or you know, college applications, scholarship applications, all of that stuff, and you know, I had to retake the SAT, trying to figure out where am I going to live, trying to figure out, you know, moving, all of that stuff, and I was also doing dual enrollment, so everything was kind of like what she said, back after back, and then I had a, for lack of a better word, downfall. I had a failure almost, and that was like the last straw for me. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so tired. Literally, the only thing I could say to explain my situation to others was, I'm so tired.
Wow.
And that was all I could tell them, and the only way I was able to get through that was with my family, because I felt like that one failure on top of all the other emotions I was feeling. I felt like, okay, so that just means my whole life has been a failure.
Wow.
I feel like, okay, that's it. I'm done. Like, what am I gonna do now?
Yeah.
You know, you want me to adult after this? I'm supposed to become, you know, I'm supposed to pay bills. I'm supposed to get a job. I'm supposed to do, you know, taxes, all of this stuff.
Wow.
And I'm just like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
This one failure feels like I just dropped 10 feet into the ground.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was through my family telling me, like, hey, you've gotten far. You've had failures, yes, but, you know, that's part of growing. It's part of being successful. And you may think a certain way about your failures, but, you know, talk to the people around you, the people that you have to support you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, they told me straight up, they're like, you're going away for school.
Right.
You're like, you're one of the first people in our family going to do that. We see that as a win. So what I saw as a failure, because it took me, you know, it took so much from me to get there.
Yeah.
They're like, no, but this is a win.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
You know,
it's not going to be amazing all the time, but, you know, it's okay to be tired and go, you know, to the people around you in your circle to feel less tired.
Yeah.
Or to, you know, explain your tiredness or your exhaustion.
You said a lot just now. You said a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna take one more, and I want Shireen to define. I want Shireen to define exhaustion. One more. We got one in the back right there. I'm notorious for picking on people. All right. So don't. This is a conversation. It's a dialogue. If I was gonna be preaching, I would have the podium up here, and I'll be preaching and everything. But it's a dialogue. So don't. I'm gonna call on you, Faina. All right, so get ready. All right, here we go. Go ahead.
I would say for me, it was like last week. Last week, I had three midterms at once, like in that 1 week. And then I also had a submittal at the end of the week at work. So I was just drowning, dude.
Mm.
The only thing that got me through that was God and some Red Bulls. That was it.
Hey, I appreciate the honesty, man. I appreciate it. All right, so we're gonna come back to you, but we're gonna take the definition of exhaustion here, and then I'm gonna share some stuff, and then I'm gonna ask another question. Go ahead.
Okay. Google's helping me. Okay.
All right. I'm okay with that.
So exhaustion is the state of being extremely tired.
Mm-hmm.
That can impact your health
mm-hmm.
and safety.
All right, stop right there. That's what I want you to talk about. How it impacts your health, right?
So it can impact your health because... You're implying when you're tired, part of this is that you're probably not sleeping
mm-hmm.
very well. And sleep is what I say when the body takes the trash out, when it recharges. So if you are not sleeping, if you're not eating correctly, all of these things, then it will physically start to impact the body, where your mind might not be clear, you might not make good decisions, you are more prone to getting sick and ill, so your immune system is going to be impacted. So it can impact all your body functions.
Wow. Wait. A lot of us are carrying weight, and you said it indirectly a lot. A lot of us are carrying unintentional weight, and that adds to the exhaustion. Now, there are three types of weight, right? If you don't write it down, remember this. Three types of weight, right? It is sinful weight, godly weight. What's the other type? What is the other type? And unnecessary weight. So you have unnecessary weight. In other words, unnecessary weight is the weight is not sinful, it's not godly. You know what it is? It's Sky's friends or family who never did what she's doing. And they're saying, go ahead, girl, we see you win. We see you winning. You're doing something that we've never done before. That adds what? Pressure. So now, unconsciously, what is she doing? I gotta finish. I can't let them down. I'm the first. That's unnecessary. Sinful weight. Sinful weight. I'm not going to give you an answer. What is it? What is it? What's sinful weight? What's sinful weight? Somebody say something? Somebody say guilt of sin. All right? Guilt of sin. I'm going to take another one. Sinful weight. What's that? Past. No, we got to hear the people. They're watching. Hi. Say hi. They're watching. Past trauma. Sinful weight is past trauma. All right. All right. Go, we got, go, get this down, Elder Fanon in the back there. Sinful weight. What's that? What's that? What's that? Sinful weight.
Sorrow that does not lead to repentance.
Sinful weight. Sinful weight. Anybody else?
Shame.
Shame. Who said that? Solely. Shame. Shame. Anybody else? Sinful weight.
Greed.
Grief. Greed. 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 We got one more? We got one more? You said worry? Worry. We got one in the back there? On for? All right. We're all saying the same thing. I'm gonna piece it together. I'm gonna piece it together, right? Watch this. Sinful weight is coming to the foot of the cross. Putting your weight down, putting your sin down. Then when the prayer ends, taking it back up and going back to your seat. I'm not going to ask how many of us do it, because we all do. We all do. We all do. We pray about a particular thing. There's something that's on our hearts. There's something that's on our minds. And our prayer life, when we pray, man, mountains move. But typically, we see the mountains moving over there. What do I mean, Tracy? So we see something happening over there, and we're moved to pray for it. And so what we do intercessory prayer, and we even write it down sometimes. And then we watch to see the mountain move. And sometimes it moves immediately, and sometimes it moves after a while. But the fact of the matter is, we know it's going to move. A matter of fact, some of us, we're so effective in our prayer life that we pray about that thing one time. And we leave the rest to God, because we know that God's going to take care of it. But when it comes on to ourselves, now this is not intercessory prayer. This is me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We take that thing. We're sick. We take it to the Lord. We put it down. Lord, heal me. And then we pick it back up and we go to our seats. And we carry that weight around every day. There's financial weight. Man, God told me, Randall, to buy this house. You know what I'm saying? He told me to get this car. He told me, how God gonna tell me to get a job that's not paying me enough to pay my bills? And so we pray about it. We pray about it. And when we're done praying, what we do? We pick it back up. All that is simple. Wait. Here's my question. Shireen broke it down from a medical standpoint. When you don't get sleep, your immune system don't function the way it should. You get sick easier. You make bad decisions. I'm not saying bad decisions. You make decisions that is not best, as in not... that is not in your best interest. Because sometimes the decision we make in and of itself isn't bad. But if you were rested, you would have gone about it a complete different way, in which excess weight wouldn't be added. So how do we deal with sinful weight? That's my question. How have you dealt with sinful weight? We heard greed. We heard unforgiveness. There are several things that we and let's just be real right now. Let's be real. How do we deal with sinful weight? And I say this. Listen, it's Mental Awareness Week. My goal is to, by the end of this message, affect change in your mind. So we are now going forward, being proactive into ensuring that we are doing things to positively affect our mental health. Go ahead, Soli.
Uh-huh. And also coming to an understanding that you need to change that, or that you need to do something about it.
Okay.
So that's definitely the first step, is to recognize it.
Accepting that, I'm carrying this weight. All right? Go ahead. Bryce, we have one over there.
Piggyback on that, where the first step is accepting that you have that. Like, the first step to recovery is admitting that you have a problem.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, you will have, the next step after that would be, you have to start building up that trust in God. Where it's like, okay.
How do we do that?
That's I'm still trying to figure that out myself.
You're trying to figure it out. Okay. And this is what I said. This is what I mean when I said we got to be real. You know what I'm saying? Don't tell me what the Bible says. Tell me how you've dealt with it. How have you dealt with it? Because the truth is, we've either dealt with it a very ineffective way or an effective way. Now, the fact that we're all here, it means that we have dealt with it. Now, I would imagine that you have identified some helpful ways in your life. Homeboy said, herbal. Now, some may argue it's not a good way, to deal with weight. So how do we deal with sinful weight? Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to back up a little bit, because we said, first acknowledge that we have a problem.
Right.
A lot of times we don't see in ourselves that we have a problem.
Uh-huh.
Because as the young lady said before, that we're carrying pressures that people didn't even put on us, and we're carrying it. So I would suggest that this is why having a community is so important, because they may be seeing pressures on you that you don't see, and being humble enough to hear what they're saying and then acknowledge that you have the problem, because a lot of times we're taking on things and we don't even know.
Right.
And we just wonder why we're so tired,
mm-hmm,
or so exhausted.
Yeah.
So having a community is so important to help in that first step, to acknowledge that maybe the reason why you're exhausted, let's talk about why you think you may be exhausted. You know, having that community is important to do that.
Right, right, right. So what Kevin said was resources, having the right people around you. Having the right people around you. Now, let me ask you this. Does having the right people around you help with sinful weight? We're talking about sinful weight. Is that effective? Is that an effective way in dealing with sinful weight? Go ahead. Soli is behind you.
I would say yes and no, because sometimes, even when you have the right people around you, it can build a lot more pressure on you.
So that like, sounds like the wrong people, though.
Like, no, it's kind of like you seeing that they're doing the right thing and you recognizing that, wow, I'm not there. Like, I'm not where they are at. Like, let's say if you're in, like, in a Bible study group, you feel like everyone is getting to know God better, you know, like studying the Bible, etc. If you feel like yourself, you're not doing that, it kind of puts more pressure on you. Like that sinful weight and everything. Mm. Like you start to feel it more. And some people, they may go about it the right way. Like, okay, like I'm going to do better. But some people, it can actually set them back. Some people tend to leave the Bible study group. Some people may actually stay and continue.
Is that sinful or unintentional or unnecessary?
But sinful way to me, it can also be like shame.
All right, stop right there, right? So is shame sinful or unnecessary? Does it depend on the source? And typically, shame is where shame come from? Where shame come from? Where shame come on? Talk to me, God. Where does shame come from? You say it comes from both, internal and external. Give Kevin the mic. How break it down? How do we get external shame?
So external shame, like let's use social media as an example.
Uh huh.
Right, something can be posted, and due to comments, it brings shame.
Okay, all right.
So externally, you may not have done anything, and you've gotten external shame from whatever was either misquoted or posted.
Okay, so, all right. I'm gonna do it. So even in that case, it is still internal. So this is. Yeah, so the point I'm making here is you decide unintentionally or not. Like, you decide if this is going to bother me. I decide, you decide. Now, oftentimes, or insecurities encourage us to feel that way. But then that goes back to not dealing with effectively your insecurities. You see what I'm saying? And so, we're talking about sinful weight. You know, and I really want us to get to that point. You know what I mean? How have you dealt with sinful weight? All right, let me say this. How have you effectively dealt with sinful weight? We got Sky over here, and then we have Brother Walker in the front. A Sky, and then Brother Walker. I'm gonna have Nate, Tracy. This means two gifts. Nate, so grab a mic. You're gonna do this side. All right, you're gonna do this side, and Bryce is gonna do this side. You know, working Bryce. Bryce is tired. Go ahead.
Based on so far what we've defined, should sinful weight as, I handle it. It's gonna sound a bit weird, but I handle it by giving up. It sounds kind of weird, but by giving up, because the whole reason that we have that sinful weight is because we're refusing to kind of let go of what we were already supposed to put down. So, especially since we're on the topic of exhaustion, I feel like, and maybe this is just from my personal experience of what happened to me, but you have to come to a point where you can't see any other options but God. So sometimes that exhaustion, it kind of puts you in the right mindset. You know, it's not the best one, obviously, you know, in the long term, but sometimes it's what you need to kind of flick that switch to go and do the right thing. Because we'll have an exhaustion because we want to fix it ourselves. We want to be independent. We want to deal with it ourselves. We don't want to bother others.
Yeah.
We don't want to bother God.
Yeah.
Crazy idea. But nonetheless, if we get so tired that we're just like, I can't do this anymore, you know who can? So if you give it up. I'll go and I'll literally say, all right, this is your problem, not mine. You deal with it. And it's because I'm just so tired of everything else. I'll be like, hey, this is your problem.
That's it.
That's it.
That is it right there. Go. Let me hear what Brother Walker got to say. That is it right there. You know some questions where the answer is in the question? Huh? I said it. I said we come, we put it down, and what's the problem? We pick it back up. How do we deal with it? Don't pick it up. Go ahead.
We talked just about having the right people around you.
Having the people, right.
Right? There's a problem that exists. People around you is telling you about that problem that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But you are constantly living in denial.
Mm. So that's not accepting that you have
exactly.
Sin, right?
Mm-hmm. So now you talk about how do I get rid of it?
That's a real.
You got to give it to Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're living in denial, I don't care how much my friends tell me about this problem, but I'm living in denial. The only way I'm going to get help is through Christ.
Wow. Wow. The way to deal with sinful weight. I'm gonna stop right at Shireen, and then we're gonna move on. But listen, the only way, it's what? It's what is it? What's the subject? It's what? It's sinful, right? The adjective is sinful weight. Now, who took care of sin? Come on, guys. Come on. Stop playing. Who took care of sin? So, how do you deal with sinful weight? Now, let's real quick, shout it out. Let's identify again some sinful weights. Shout it out, real quick. Worrying. Greed. Anxiety. Doubt. That is a gray area. It's a gray area. But I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna come back to it here in a second. But I'm gonna say it. Stress. Give me two more. Selfishness. All right. So give me one that we don't want to let go. Pride. All right. I'm gonna. Go ahead. Wrap this up, and then we're gonna move on to the next one. Go ahead.
But I acknowledge what you're saying, that yes, we need to put it down, give it to Christ.
Yeah.
However, even when Christ was here, he had to surround himself with the right people.
Right.
And it wasn't necessarily the right people that society said was the right people.
Uh-huh.
But those were the people, his disciples, that supported him during that time too. So yes, give it to God. But in reality, yes, we're going to give it to God, but you also do need people, because humans need people.
That's a very good point. Because as someone who, let's say I struggle with alcohol, right? I can't come here, Lord, I'm giving this to you, right? I'm giving this, and I put it down, and then I go back to my friends who love to hang out at the bar. There's some weight that we're going to have to be intentional about cutting off. So it's not just about, you're right, Shireen, it's not just about, there is, so let me say it this way. We also have a responsibility to do the follow through, to do the right things after we have put it down. Because sometimes what we do, we don't pick it back up here. Sometimes we bring it here, we put it down, and then we, in the case of alcohol, we go to our friend's house and we pick it back up there. You know what I'm saying? So it's the right people. And sometimes the right people, I'm gonna say this, not sometimes, the right people should always be identified by the Holy Spirit. So it's not, guys, it is not who you feel. It is not just who you feel comfortable with. we're having a conversation this week, and Tracy, a philosopher friend of mine. I have philosopher friends. We're talking about the difference between nice versus being kind. Being nice versus being kind. And so the person was saying, Randall, yeah, I'm not into being nice. I'm gonna be kind. And when the person said that, I was like, what in the, that is not God, what? And she broke it down. She broke it down. See, being nice is seeing wrong being done and not speaking up against it. Being nice is Jesus walking in the temple and seeing all that they were doing and not turning over the tables. Being nice is essentially deciding to mind your own business because you've told yourself it don't concern you. Being nice is seeing a child being kidnapped. I'm not getting involved. Being kind, though, is turning those tables over. Being kind is putting yourself in the position where, regardless of what society may think the consequence, I'm going to do this because it should be done. Right? Got to move on. And so we talked about sinful weight. Let's talk about the unnecessary weight. We hinted at it a little bit. Let's get some more examples of unnecessary weight. How do we deal with it? Go ahead. Bryce in the back. Unnecessary weight. How do we deal with it?
I try to avoid social media as much as possible. Like, because I feel like when I'm on Instagram or when I'm on Facebook or stuff like that, I tend to have this thing where I try to compare my life to someone else's life.
Yeah.
Like, why am I not in that position yet?
Right.
And then I put that pressure on myself where it's like, okay, I need to be in this position right now versus like.
Put a mic up. I
say like I need to be in this position right now when I'm like, okay, you're taking your time. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You need to take your time. It's gonna come across.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a process. So I just try to stay off social media. I don't try to compare myself to other people. I understand that I have my own path and I'm doing pretty good at my pace, at least for me.
Anybody else? Unnecessary. We got Nate in the back. Nate.
I think trying to prioritize things that are really important. So a lot of times the unnecessary weight is like things like, you know, pride or things that you want. And sometimes I take a step back and really look at like what's really important in life, like
yeah.
my family, my
yeah.
health,
yeah.
my spirituality. So those are the things that kind of help me when I take a step back. I'm like, is this really important?
Yeah.
Does this really matter in the grand scale of things?
Yeah.
And that sometimes helps with the weight. Not all the time, but it helps.
Awesome. Prioritizing, making a list. Bryce, we have one here in the front. And then, Nate, we have somebody right there. Unnecessary weight. What is it? What are some unnecessary weights and how do we deal with it?
When I look at what's going on in this country.
Yeah.
Listening and believing everything you hear on TV in this cycle of politics that is going on.
Mercy.
Listening to it
yeah.
and taking it on, trust me, that's something you don't even want to put on yourself.
Mm. Mm. Slowly.
I will say for me, like I tell myself, like, this is not worth my time. I know sometimes it sounds selfish, and honestly, to a Caribbean household also, like, I would say like families and Caribbean households tend to put unnecessary weight on you. Things that is not your problem or your issue or like you weren't even part of it.
Give me an example.
Family drama.
Like, okay.
It could be like extended cousin.
Okay.
You haven't even talked to that person and
right.
all of a sudden they need your opinion or like they need you to put an input and it's overwhelming sometimes. I know that, and it may sound selfish to a lot of Caribbean household when you try to remove unnecessary weight in your life. But sometimes I also ask myself, like, is this what God put me in this world for? Like, and I'll try to, like he said, like understand, like prioritize what's most important for you, and which can be selfish at times.
Okay. Kevin, and then Shireen. Unnecessary weight. We said stress was sinful. I'm gonna get to it. There. Hold on. Hold me. Keep me honest.
So Soli made a great point. Understanding where your personal limits are.
Okay. All right.
How much can you take on
right.
yourself?
Right.
And this comes with age and maturity, but understanding when do you say no, and being able to be okay with that.
Boundaries.
There right. you go. Boundaries. So very, very, very important. And a lot of times we learn this later on in life. But some things that we can share with our kids as they're growing up, how do you set boundaries? How do you help? How do you be kind, but not at the expense of your own health?
Right. Go ahead, Shireen. Actually, no, I'll take Shireen last. Let's have Bryce in the back. Go ahead, Grandma. Nate, you just lost the gift, bro. All right, here we go.
Worrying about things that could happen or will happen.
My God. My Lord. Whew. That is so real. You ever go to the doctor and you just get, all you just had one blood pressure reading that was high. All you had, just one blood pressure reading that was high. And all of a sudden, you're all the way. You are so far into the different diseases. And you remembered your great, 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 great granduncle who died from. That's real. It's real. We have Peter here and then Shireen. Peter right here.
I think the biggest example would be the hurricane that recently passed
yeah.
because of the news.
Right.
How they would say, oh, it went from 4 to 5.
Yeah.
And then when it arrived, it went from 5 to 3. And,
yeah.
You know, the news telling, oh, you got to evacuate. People are going to die and stuff.
Yeah, right, right, like, right.
It just put in a lot of unnecessary.
Because wait.
Everybody was just going crazy in the stores and everything, buying stuff that in reality they didn't really need. But it was more than just like the news just drives people insane.
Wow. Go ahead. It's almost time to wrap up. Go ahead, Shireen.
I was just going to say, just based on what's being said too, that too much unnecessary weight can turn into sinful weight.
Break that down, girl. Go ahead, break that down. What she said was too much unnecessary weight could evolve into sinful weight. Go ahead. Tell me more.
So some of the examples, worry or boundaries or what your family puts on you and things like that, you carry that around so much that it now morphs into something else.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets, you know, you start getting...
No, I want to hear. I can't hear.
Yeah, so she's saying like something. Resentment, and you start having these other things that now turn into being sinful because you didn't get rid of it.
Wow. Appreciate you bringing that to the table. Definitely never considered that at all. Listen, we don't have a lot of time, but I want to talk about godly weight, divine weight. By the way, let me just quickly just get a poll real quick. Can God do it? Is things from God wait? I don't even know how to ask this question. You know what I'm saying? You know, is that a thing? You said no in the back? No, it's not. Anything from God ain't wait. That's what you're saying? All right. Anybody else? Who says no? Who says no? Just raise your hand. She's saying, I don't know. What word can I use as wait? I can't. I'm finding a word. What's a word? Give me another word for wait. Huh? Responsibility. Thank you. Who said that? Soli, shout out. Responsibilities from God isn't wait. That's what you're saying? Now it's... Tell me your mind. Just want to give her the mic. Where's the mic? Where's Bryce? Give her the mic. I want to hear what she means so I'm not, you know.
I feel like a lot of the problems stem from kind of like doubts of yourself or like watching other people and kind of seeing the communities or stuff that are doing better than you. I feel like if you actually have like God on your side, the things that you're doing for him shouldn't feel like weight. It should feel like stuff that you love to do, you love, like you want to do, some not like a weight on you. But I feel like if you're starting to feel a weight, it might be kind of stem from like the devil a little bit, like sinful. Like I could like read, I guess a responsibility, like read the Bible, be aware of his word. If that starts feeling kind of like a weight to me, that feels like maybe start doing it more so it doesn't, because it's not supposed to be like a weight. It's supposed to be like,
hold on now. Hold on. Listen. What's your name, girl? What's your name?
Nyla.
Okay. All right. Nyla, you done stressed me out right now. My God. All right. Okay. All right. I was going somewhere with this, but you said something. Okay. All right. Hold on. Okay, so we're talking about responsibilities from God and the notion that you are, if they're from God, you're saying it shouldn't feel like weight. That's what you're saying. Oh. All right, so we got about 10 people. You did something. Like, you done. All right, here we go. We're going to work our way back. We're going to do Kevin, Soli, Faina, Daff, or Rachel, then Daff. All right? Kevin, Soli, Faina, Rachel, Daff. Come on, guys. We got short time. Go.
So I think what happened, and this was shown in the Bible as well.
Yeah.
When God gives us something, we tend to do more. We tend to overdo it. So when God gave the Ten Commandments, what did we do? What did the people in Moses' time do? They had to create Mosaic law on top of it. So I think what happens as human beings, instead of taking what God gives us and doing exactly what it is, we tend to put our own spin on it and say, oh, that don't sound as cool. Let me cool it up a little bit. Let me do it my way. And that's what creates the stress. And we talk about boundaries as well. You can be doing a good thing, but you can overdo it. So what? And I'll give you a real life example. When we first started this church, there was.
Let me sit down now. I need a seat.
There wasn't so many people here.
Okay.
So the few had to do a lot. So what does that mean? That means opening up and closing the church. That means counting the money. That means making sure the sound is good. That means cleaning up. That means preparing for lunch. That means cleaning up after lunch. That means cleaning the bathrooms. That means cutting that lawn out there. A lot of things that were put on the few, right? And then when more people came, do we share the responsibility to new people and then run them out because, hey, we got this to do, we got that to do, or do we give people time to be a part of the church first before we invite them to see what their gifts are and be help them be a part of them? So there's a lot to boundaries that we have to admit that as humans, we tend to overdo. Even in our excitement for God, even in our love for God, we overdo it. So that's why boundaries are so important, where you can say, yes, I can go up to this point, and then we can let our brother or sister take over.
All right. So before I jump to Soli, I think we should define God's way. You have the definition? Oh, you want to read it? Well, hold on. Don't read it yet. Is that the definition? Oh, okay. All right. We're going to end up the same place. Hold on. Not yet. Hold on. So let me just quickly, I'm not going to ask for any opinions or whatnot. Let me give you what God weight is. Is that fair? Right? Receive this. God weight is two things. Your calling, your purpose. Okay? Three things. Your assignment. Okay? Calling, purpose, assignment. All right? Can I break it? Should I break that down or no? Break it down? I'm going to break it down with examples. Right? Moses was called, was he not? All right. Your purpose is the reason. Your purpose is God's invitation to you, right? To be a part of why he created you. Y'all receive that? All right? Your purpose is God's invitation to you. In other words, he's saying, I made you to heal the sick. You have the gift of healing on your life. I say this about Shireen all the time, right? That's her purpose. She don't know how to do. That's her gift. That's her purpose. Now, an assignment, because you see, understand this. When David was anointed for king, he didn't start the job immediately. God sent him to the fields. God sent him through some things so that he would be prepared, right? So the assignment on Shireen's life is to heal the sick. But in some seasons, God want her to sit herself down. And in some seasons, God is saying, that dude over there is your assignment. Go help him out. Are we okay? We good? All right. Now let's get back. Sorry for the commercial. Soli, go ahead.
I'm so happy you talked about the David thing because I was just thinking about that. Yeah. But in the sense of like the godly weight, because he had a lot of people relying on him about what to do. And, you know, of course, that was his, you know, assignment and stuff, his calling. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time he had to ask God for answers. So I feel like the godly weight for him was that there was a lot of people, like, relying on him about what should they do or, mm-hmm. like, how to proceed forward.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in today's world, you also look at, let's say, ministry, pastor. Oftentimes some people, and again, we always say to read your Bible on your own, even if they talk about it in church. But sometimes some people rely on their pastor for answers.
Right.
And that's a weight on that person's life. And sometimes, let's say, like, a pastor or, like, the ministry, like, they tend to forget about, like, their own family members or their own, like, you know, their own self, and just tend to focus more on, like, the community, which is where boundaries come in. So I think that's, like, in my definition of, like, godly weight. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. We got 10 minutes. Hurry up. Go ahead.
Just to add, add to what Kevin was saying. I define godly weight. How can I say this? I think we're all going to go through certain weights in our life, but the way I view it, I rather take on the responsibility that God is giving me because I know that it's eventually going to build character.
Okay.
Right? So even though it's bumpy, there's a purpose behind that, and there's a reason why he's taking you through that journey. So I'd rather go through that journey than to go on my own journey and not build any character.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Okay, Rachel? Where's Nate? Nate, you gave up on me?
Okay, so this is on behalf of an online viewer. They said, responsibilities from God are a weight. Christ told us to pick up our cross. And that weight isn't always a bad thing. Weight can be used to build muscle and strength. Not all weight is meant to weigh you down.
Come on now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Say that last part again. Say that last part again. Who that? Shout out to them. Who's that? Who's that?
Not all weight is meant to weigh you down.
Weight can be.
Weight can be used to build muscle and strength.
Stop right there. Next person. Next. Oh, Daff. Okay. All right. Daff is passing. All right. Let's wait on the mic. Wait on the mic. All right. So let's start there. All right. Since you have the mic, let's start there, and then we'll finish right here. Go ahead. Is that mic? Turn the mic. Where's the mic on?
Hello?
There we go. Go ahead.
Godly weight means that when God wants to get to us, when he wants us to do something, like for example, let's say that I am a smoker and God wants me to stop smoking, and then this desire, this weight, he puts it on
Okay. All right.
So what I was going to say is that in Matthew 11:28-30 reads, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And it continues reading.
Take your yoke upon me.
And it would actually bring me back memories. I'm a marathon runner, and when I used to prepare myself for the marathons, I used to pace myself. There's different pace for people that runs. Some people will be in front, some people will be in the middle, some people will be in the back. For me, when I first started, it was like putting pressure on myself. I'm like, I want to be in the front. I want to be in the front line. But I noticed that everybody has their time. And like the sister was saying, or somebody was saying something over there about taking time, it prepares you for a future. It prepares you. It builds muscles. Let's just put it that way. It builds muscles, and it helps your body to get to the point that you want, you know, that you make it the way you want to do. And the Lord has something special for each one of his children. Mm-hmm. We all get there in different times. All of us are in different courses, let's say. And everybody sees things differently. But at the end, everybody's going to make it to the finish line.
Okay. I should have made you go last. I don't know why. All right, listen, we are, you got 10 seconds, go ahead. All right, David, go ahead.
I'm going to piggyback off my wife. Psalm 55:22, cast all your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
All right.
Also, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. These verses suggest that what we may face, challenges and burdens, God invites us to rely on him for help and comfort.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't necessarily remove all difficulties, but offers his presence and support to help us through them.
All right. All right, then David too. Y'all say hi. Y'all got the same name.
I was gonna, God's weight basically encompasses all that he is. And the Bible says God is love. So when we talk about even the Holy Spirit filling his house with his presence, that weight that's there, we feel at peace, we feel a oneness, we feel a love.
Okay. We're going to do a Brother Walker. Soli? This is all right, all right. So we'll do here and here, and then Cherine, you have something to say too? All right, then Cherine will be like, oh, you too? You didn't, you had your hand up, you didn't say? Oh, you passed, all right. No, wait, let's come here, and then we go over there. You have the mic? Where's the mic? All right, so let's start here, and then Soli, Cherine will finish out, and I'm going to wrap it up. All right now. Soli. You're the real MVP, by the way. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, for some people, like, a lot of those weight can be like a battle. And I remember my friend's aunt telling me once that God will never put you in a battle that he knows you can't get through.
Okay.
So, that's all.
All right. So, Cherine, and then I'm a hopefully pull this all together. I don't know. Let's see.
Everything that's been said, I'm just probably recapping it. But if you want to hear something from the medical point of view, what Brother just said is, yes, weight helps to build muscle.
Right.
But too much weight will break the bone.
Mm.
And the other part to it is to build weight and to build muscle, you have to tear the muscle apart. Then you have to refuel your body with protein to rebuild the weight and to then make it stronger. So all of the talk about weight is good to talk about, but the recovery part, that's where Holy Spirit, God, making sure you're feeding yourself with the protein that you need to heal that muscle so that it will then get stronger.
All right. Y'all put your hands together for everybody that shout out to that one person online or the individuals who commented online. Weight isn't a bad thing. Weight can be bad. And that's why we broke them down, right? You have sinful weight, you have unnecessary weight, but you also have godly weight. And this is why I was perturbed a little bit. That's why I was like, I should have defined, but I was perturbed a little bit because we over-Christianize and over-spiritualize certain things. And sometimes the calling from God can be heavy. Yo, God's weight is heavy. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And his assignment was to die for everybody. And he was said, is there another way? Can this cup be? It's heavy. God's weight is heavy. But here's what I've learned. This is where I want to land here. Could you put the text back on the, can we put the text back on the screen, please? And this is where I want to land the plane. When enduring God's weight, Kevin said it, we have to do it God's way. So if God told you, I'll give you I'm in the Bible real quick, right? Was Paul a preacher? Was preaching his spiritual gift? Paul wasn't a preacher? Was Paul a preacher? You say afterwards. Come on. Was Paul a preacher or not? Huh? Go to the New Testament. He wrote most of it. Paul was a preacher. Paul was a preacher, right? He was, the Bible tells us that he was a tent maker. He sold and made tents. That was his job. His spiritual gift. He did that. He was very good at it. People were writing him from places that he had never gone. A matter of fact, the Bible tells us the Spirit of God was so much on him that he would go places and not open his mouth and people would be healed. His spiritual gift was preaching. Now, why would God stop him from going to Asia? God, he was trying to go to Asia to preach. That's what God said, I ordained you to preach. This is your gift. Use it to win people, win souls for the kingdom. Why would God then stop him to go to Asia? God stopped him. He was trying to go to preach. He wasn't trying to go to do anything bad. He was trying to go to fulfill what he believed was an assignment. And this is where I'm landing the plane now. See, oftentimes, we take God's calling and we put our application on it to do it our way. God had specific instructions for Paul. And there was a time when he was going to go to Asia. But God's way, even when he has given you this responsibility, he wants you to do it a specific way. He wants you to do it a specific way. I'm going to say this last thing, I'm going to close. God told Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to give you a son. So I'm going to give you a son. Right? Was that a promise from God? Yeah. Did they believe it? Yeah, I mean, at first, yeah, a little shaky at first, right? But after a while, they did believe it, right? But here's the problem. God was taking too long to move. They were waiting. We've been waiting. They were waiting and waiting and waiting, and you know, in their mind, you know, according to them, God wasn't doing anything. So let me put my interpretation on it. Let me put my how on it. And so they interpreted, well, God must have meant I should figure it out. And so they figured it out, and here comes Ishmael. This little innocent boy, he ain't got nothing to do with it. Like, he didn't ask to be there. They went about doing a godly ordained thing the wrong way. They were promised a son. And they went about it the wrong way. As a church, we're given an assignment. And oftentimes we go about it the wrong way. And when we go about it the wrong way, that's when we want to give up. There's no feeling of fulfillment that we get. See, having a calling on your life, having a spiritual gift, it don't mean you run yourself into the ground. Even Jesus stepped back from time to time and recharged. For 3 years of work, he spent 40 days in the wilderness praying and worshiping. And even still, he was in the garden asking God, oh, this is heavy. This is heavy. It's some weight that you're carrying Some of it are sinful. Some of it is unnecessary. And some of it is even godly. But perhaps you may have been going about it the wrong way. Perhaps you've been trying to figure out the how, like they did with Ishmael. And God is saying, I got a solution for that. The assignment is still on your life. How about you do it my way this time? The unnecessary way? How about you put that aside? For the kids who are here in school, let me talk to y'all a little bit. Y'all would, and those who are in college, y'all will go through classes. Y'all will do the absolute best that you can do, and you will still receive a grade that is not necessarily what you want. But that grade don't define you. You're still a great person even when you're not great at math. Even when you're not great at English. There is still a specific calling on your life. Even when you don't get things right all the time. As Christians, we ought to not just strive to do things the best way we could do them. We should strive to do things the God way. So I invite you right now to stand with me. You have unnecessary weight. You have sinful weight. Or you've been going about this God weight the wrong way. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we pray. Father in heaven, we have taken up our cross with the intention to follow you. And Father, the truth is sometimes that cross gets extremely heavy. Sometimes we feel strong enough. And sometimes we go through seasons where our strength is just peaked and we are doing amazing and we get caught up in the I and how we can do it and how I can accomplish and how strong we are, forgetting really where our strength comes from. We ask you, God, that you would forgive us in those times. We ask you that you would teach us how to carry out our assignment. Teach us really how to put the weight down and leave it at the foot of the cross. Teach us how when you've called us for a specific reason, when you have given us a specific responsibility, that God, you would let us rely on you, that you would let us follow your instructions, that when you say exit off the highway, we get off, that God, when you say stop, we stop, that when you say rest, we rest, that when you say don't worry, that we don't worry, that when you say move, that we move, even when we're feeling as though we can't, even when, God, I pray that you help us not to do things based on how we feel. I pray that you would cause us to trust you more and more. I pray, God, that we would effectively apply principles that would cause us to be mentally healthy. So we can make better decisions. So we could show up and be a blessing. I pray for every single person and every family that's represented here. Those who are watching online, God, I pray that you send your Holy Spirit to govern their lives. Give us power. Give us the Spirit, God, to discern what is right, what is wrong, what you've called us to do, and when you've called us to do it. And when life gets heavy, when we feel like we can't take another step, help us to rely on the one that made this entire world. May you give us that spirit of courage that would cause us to even say, even if you don't come forth and provide exactly what we believe we need, we're still going to bless your name. We'll still worship you. We'll still give you the glory and the honor. Forgive us, God, of all our sins, and save us in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.